now בעזרת השם we want to learn Torah. We want to learn Torah. בעזרת השם. What are you saying? All depressed? Except of you, all of the rest. Boys, say what's going on? Smiling? No one is smiling. One is trying. If it wouldn't be a lie, we would sing that song.
But they don't help us get there.
Amen. Rav Shalom said that he never sing that song. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, we love you. Anachnu ahavim otcha. So if you sing, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you love us, you can sing that. If you say that we love him, it's going to be a lie. You cannot lie like that. Hashem, we love you, I love you. Come on. Cheetos and Doritos. Chocolate. Ice cream. Steaks. YouTube. Caught you with that YouTube? No? Don't like YouTube. So, Bezrat Hashem, a boy side. Torah Lamed Aleph 31. Let's see what Hashem wants from us today. Rav Shalom said yesterday that a man needs to do tshuva every day, corresponding to the experience that he had in that day. You cannot think that the tshuva that you made yesterday is going to be also good for you for today. It means tshuva is not something that you put on automatic pilot and just saying the same words, Hashem, help me to guard my eyes, Hashem, help me to learn Torah, Hashem, this, that, and finish. No. You need to see what's going on. For an example, today, something very weird happened to me. I went to talk to the Rabbanit on a certain idea that I had on something to develop the English program, to do something to make it bigger and wider and stronger. And I shared it with her, and she accepted it, and she liked that idea, and she said, it's an amazing idea, it's a great idea. And I told her, maybe guys from our English program are going to be able to work in it and to make phone calls. And also, it was very nice, and she accepted it, and she liked that idea. And then suddenly someone came that is also connected somehow to the English program. And the Rabbanit said, oh, it's very good that you came. Dror gave me an idea now, and it's a very good idea, but we don't want, and she's saying we. And she attached me to her, what did she now plans to say? She's saying, but we don't want you to steal that idea. And we don't want you to take that idea and to do it by yourself, because Arab Dror, he wants his students to do that. And you know, sometimes you can take his ideas and to use them and to take it like that it's yours. And she took me, and she's taking him, and she's like, I'm talking for 1 hour in the office, bad things on him, and he just suddenly came to catch me. And I haven't done nothing. I didn't mention his name. I didn't have that fear inside of me. I didn't think about it at all. But Hashem wants it to happen. So I was waiting outside until he's going to finish, and I apologized to him. I told him I didn't think about it at all, and it wasn't, never crossed my mind. He said, no, no, it's okay, it's okay, and just went away. And you can feel that he's frustrated, he's angry. Why are you coming and talking bad things on me? And he's right. You couldn't see nothing else. You couldn't see something else. This was the reality over there. But I didn't do nothing. And how are you going to... You can convince him? You cannot. He went already. He's angry already. But Hashem is doing those things. This is why I need tshuva, to do tshuva on the day, with the experience of the day. What can you do? Hashem brings you to places. Hashem forced you to deal with situations that you caused sorrow to someone, that you done something bad to someone. What can you do? Hashem wants it to be. Hashem wants it to be. Hashem brought it. Sometimes someone can tell you, look, I need you to pass a message to someone else. And you're going to give that message, and the one that got that message is going to be disappointed, and you're going to look at you like that you, but someone forced you to do that. What can you do? Hashem wants you to do it. It's not your job, but Hashem wants you to do it. It wasn't your idea, but Hashem wanted to put you in front. Hashem wanted you to stand in that situation. If you're not accepting all of those situations with faith, you cannot hold on. If in your childhood you were hurting people, you were fighting, you were rebuking. If you hurt your wife, you rebuked your wife yesterday, today in the morning. Now, after the fact, what can you do? What can you do? You cannot change reality. This is the reality. And now you need to deal with it. Not to accept it, it means that you're arrogant. You cannot accept the fact that you made mistakes. But if you're humble a little bit, you're going to be able to understand, alright, I'm a human being. And if really you have faith, you're also going to understand that Hashem forced you to sin. Hashem forced you to fall. Sometimes Hashem is pushing a man from his level to a lower level because he wants him to deal, because he wants him to struggle, he wants him to reveal his real will, that he's going to fight, that he's going to show what his real will is, what he wants to do, what really his desire is. And without those tests, without those fallings, you're never gonna confront with who that you really are. Those situations are bringing us to the truth. And in that point, in that test, we need to choose Hashem. Alright, I'm gonna confess, I'm gonna be humble, I'm gonna apologize, I'm gonna throw away my honor, I'm gonna accept those disgrace, those insultings, I'm gonna admit, I'm gonna apologize. Sometimes someone can rebuke you and to disgrace you on things that you haven't, that you weren't that evil, that you weren't planning to do something so wrong, and it's keep on rebuking and rebuking. Without faith, you're fighting back immediately. You're attacking. You're saying no, but why? You're a liar. You're just going to ruin a lot more. But with faith, you understand. It's Hashem that rebukes me now. It's Hashem that is insulting me now, and Hashem got his reason. You live with Hashem. One of the oldest students in Yeshivat Shuvu Banim, that he was mamash from the beginning when Rav Shalom was learning over there also, maybe 35 years ago, he said that they were always insulting Rav Shalom over there. They were hurting him very badly, all of the time. Because Rav Shalom from the beginning, he was an aspect of an outsider. What it means, he was very close to Rav Berland, very much, and he was going with Rav Berland, but meanwhile he was teaching others. He had students. He was going to give shiurim by himself. And over there in Yeshivat Shuvu Banim, it wasn't accepted at all, because over there they were overcrowning Rav Berland. Even though that he's a huge righteous man and no one contradicts him and we love him and but still, to imitate him, it's not his will at all. And he himself said a few times that it hurts him that people are imitating his way of praying and music, but people are doing that, and you can see it's a mistake that they have over there. But they're imitating him instead of learning from him and to go and to serve Hashem with your neshama, with your soul, to see how brave he is to reveal himself and to be who that he really is and to be yourself. They're trying to be him. So Rav Shalom wasn't accepting it from the beginning, and he was just learning from Rav Berland what's the real will of Hashem and what a righteous man should do, and he would go and do that by himself all of the time, and it would bring a lot of arguments on him and a lot of insultings. And that rabbi, he admit, he said, we were insulting him, we were hurting him very badly. So the Avrech that heard that from him, asked him, and what Rav Shalom was doing, how would he answer, how would he react? He said he never answered to us. He was just praying. Never answered. Never. And he said, you don't understand, when I'm saying to you that we were hurting him badly, it was mean, he said. We were mean. And he said he never answered, none of us. He was just praying. Let's go and pray. If you think that you have other solutions except of going to Hashem Yitzhak and talking with him on your problems, it's lack of faith. We can understand that you have lack of faith. It's okay. None of us is perfect and it's all okay. But it's lack of faith. If you have another solution, maybe I'm going to... Even that what that I told you now, that I was waiting outside to apologize to them. Hashem... It's all Hashem. Maybe you need to apologize. If you've done something, you need to apologize. If you haven't done nothing, don't have nothing to do except of praying. And then, in the future, you're going to realize why Hashem done that, why Hashem is doing those things for you in your life. And meanwhile, you're always going to get closer to Hashem, always to get closer to Hashem.
What happens if it's karuch, if it's entangled with the eris?
Also on that, the answer is simple. Even though that it never been revealed in the other generations, but Rabbeinu is talking about it a lot, that you don't have no control on your actions, even though that everyone have that yetzara of control themselves, and they think that they can, and they're disappointed when they're not able to. But bottom line, Rabbeinu is teaching us that he, the Creator, he's in charge of all of the actions. And the Mishnah is saying, Aser etzoncha kirtzono, you should force your will to be like his will, to want, not the actions. It doesn't written make your actions to be like his will, that your actions gonna be perfect. You should ask yourself, when my actions going to be like the actions of Hashem? Like the actions of the fathers, the rabbis, my rabbis. You need to ask yourself, but you're not able to bring them over to that place. You're not able to do that. The answer is that the reality is that if someone have a Yetzirah that brings him even to actions, there's nothing to do with it. You can do tshuva, and you should do tshuva. You should do tshuva, and you should ask for Hashem Yitzbarach again and again and again and again. But only when you come to that place of humility that you're going to realize that you cannot fix yourself. Only then it's going to be the beginning of you fixing yourself, actually. Only when you're going to realize, like the desert, that you're totally dry, that you cannot. 5 minutes ago I accepted on myself that I'm never going to be angry again. 5 minutes ago, 1 minute ago, I said I'm never going to scream in the house again. 1 minute ago, just now, and then you're turning over and screaming. So from that you should learn humility. I don't have no control on my actions. I'm all in the hands of Hashem Yitzbarach. The frustration and the sadness is because we always have that imagination of a certain being. I want to be, I want to control myself, I want to be a righteous man, I want to be a Talmid Chacham, I want to progress in my tshuva, I want to see results. It's written l'mavet otzaot. Results are after death. You want to die? Why do you want to see results? Results are after death. What are you praying on? You want to see results?
No, I was asking, I hear what you're saying. I was asking, I was in a shir, and the people were speaking not only about me, but about, they were putting me down because of Rabbeinu. They were the breast lovers, so they were saying, and they were putting down Rabbeinu. So I went to the shir because I wanted to go to the shir. It was, learning Torah. But I saw that I was outcome of Haveris, that people were speaking bad about Rabbeinu and this and that, and making it, and they were speaking about me, but they were using, human and this and that. So I figured I should be better, that I shouldn't go to the shir. Than to, is that considered rebelling, or is it better to, I should stay in the shir and listen to them talk? And then whenever I would say something, they would say, Uman and Rabbeinu and this and that.
A man needs to be happy in the place that he's going to learn, for sure. And if you see that it affects your happiness, so you don't need to go. There are people that accept insultings on themselves, but we don't have that job. We're not trying to look for troubles. We have enough. We have enough rebukes from our own Yetzer Hara. We have enough rebukes in our houses. We have enough rebukes from Hashem. You don't need to go special to look for troubles. There were righteous people that were doing that. There was admorim, rabbis that were going with torn clothes and filthy clothes, and just to receive rebukes. It was an effort of them in Avodat Hashem. But us, like Rav Shalom said on education, on chinuch, that you need to have right hand that is hand of kindness, that's going to be mekarevet, brings closer. And you need to have yad smol meracheket, left hand to reject. You need to have two weapons. One is love and kindness, and one is judgment and dinim. You need to be also kind in the house, and also you have to have your borders, you have to have justice in the house and rules in the house. So Rav Shalom said, but for us, that we're all in the left side, we need to put all of our powers on being kind, and then hopefully it's going to be balanced. Hopefully. So you cannot make no effort on being strict. You're too strict. You're too angry. Your midot, all of us, are already far away in that left side. So to take all of the effort to be in the right side, maybe it's going to balance. Maybe. Hopefully it's going to balance. So, us, that we have so much Yetzirah and so many insultings and so many difficulties to see that it's Hashem, to put ourselves again in a test, if to know if that rebuke is from Hashem or not. Or so, and we're praying on that every day, that Hashem will not going to put us not in the nisayon, not in the bizayon, not in a test, and not in a disgrace, not in a shame. But bottom line, after the fact, after those situations are happening, if you're going to wait, if you're just going to observe, just going to hope for Hashem more and more and more, you're going to see. You're going to see what's the wisdom of Hashem. Let's read a little bit from the Likutei Moharan. We were in Torah Lamed Aleph 31, Part Chet, Part 8. And we explained it, what that Rabbeinu wrote, that the words of the Hitbodedut, when someone is talking in the Hitbodedut, so those words are actually angels that goes in the world and wakes up people to want Hashem. Ulefi HaTshuka, fifth line in that part, Ulefi HaTshuka, and according to that desire that the man had in his Hitbodedut, Lefi ha-nefesh, according to the spirit that he revealed, Lefi ha-ruach memalela, according to the words, to the spirits that can, the spirit that can talk, ken itorer ha-adam, the man gonna wake up. Corresponding to that means im ha-tshuva, im ha-tshuka, if that desire in that itbodedut Ba mitzadik lerasha, comes from a righteous man to an evil man. Azay nitorer rasha, so that evil man gonna wake up beirure tshuva, to do tshuva in thoughts of tshuva. Bivchinot, in aspects of the verse that he's saying, yesh reshaim, there are wicked people, shemagia alehem, that comes to them kemaaseh hatzadikim, like the actions of the righteous people. Ve'im lehefech, lehefech. But if it's different, so it's different. It means that if, for an example, opposite, so it's opposite. It means that, for an example, if there are two people that are talking Lashon Hara, so those bad words are flying in the air. And they're going to fly and going to penetrate to someone. And even a righteous man can fall from his level and to be hurt because of those words. And he's suddenly gonna have a desire to do bad things, and it's an avera. Someone just said and talked Lashon Hara, and you don't know what that Lashon Hara is causing. You said, I wish I would do this. You reveal your bad will, and you're sharing with your bad will. You want to hurt someone, that you want to do something bad to someone, that you want to satisfy your lusts and desires in a certain way. And you're sending those, it's demons, it's not angels. It's and you're sending them, and they're going, and they're going to find a certain body to get into that body and to damage that man. And he's suddenly going to wake up in a horrible desire to do bad things, and it's all your fault. And it all comes out of the steam, that breath that comes. Steam, it's better to say?
Breath.
Shehu ha-nefesh, that it's the spirit itself, that this is the soul of the man. Because that thing is known to everyone. Sheikar ha-dibur hu, that the main way of speech, of words, is shekle ha-dibur, that the instruments, vessels of speech, makin ba'avir, are hitting the air, ve'ha'avir hazeh, and that air, pogea ba'avir ha-samukh lo, is hitting the air that was close to it, ve'ha-samukh ba'samukh, and that air hits the next air that was close to it, and it flies, ad she'magia la'chavero, until it reaches his friend, ושומע חברו האותיות, and the friend hears the letters. וכשהוא מקבל דיבורו, and when he accepts his words, הוא מקבל נפשו, he is receiving his soul, he is accepting his spirit, what that he took out. ונתעורר על הדבר הזה, and he wakes up to that thing. I mean, if you, for an example, you want to have a conversation with friends, and you just sit and talk to one of your best friends, and now, suddenly, you woke up with a certain lust, bad desire, and you want to share it with your friend, and you're going to share it, you can wake up your friend to that lust that was asleep in his time. He wasn't even close to think about those things, and you're going to make him crazy and wild, and you just ruin him, because you shared with him something that you're confronting with in your life. This is why we need to watch ourselves. Not to wake up people. You're saying, I was doing this, I was doing that, and for you, I remember once we had that story in the yeshiva. We had an avrech here, a very sweet avrech, that he was in India, he was in Thailand for a long time, he was in Australia, and he was going all over the world, mamash, and he was in parties, and using all kinds of drugs, and whatever, mamash, and then he done tshuva. But still he had a lot of Yetzer Hara on telling stories from his experience. But still for him, it wasn't dragging him back. For him, he was just sharing, but he was here. I remember there was a period of time of almost one year that they were driving to Hafatzot with Rav Shalom, to classes of Rav Shalom. And there was a new groom, in the vehicle of Hafatzot, driving with them, that he wasn't traveling at all, and he was a very simple guy, and he was hearing from him those stories every drive, every day, for almost a year, and he was hearing stories and making jokes and laughing, and everyone was laughing. But that guy, after one year he was married, after it started to be confused and to talk with his wife about using drugs, and maybe to go to travel together in the beginning, after it he divorced, and he left her with 3 babies, and he went, and he first went to France, and then to other places, and he's still traveling, and he used drugs, and all of those things, still in the house, started to drink, and I remember that his mother-in-law, the mother of that poor woman, she told me, she said, I'm blaming him, that Avrech that was telling all of those stories. She said, he doesn't know. He thinks that he's crazy, and now he's giving me advice how to help him. But I'm blaming him, that he was going with him daily and telling his stories and stories and stories. And she's right. This is the truth. You don't know what your word's going to do. You can say to someone something that for you, you know, you're dealing with it, but he doesn't have it in his world at all. This is the bad side of it. The positive, the good side is that you also, if you have things, wisdom, faith, understandings, and things that you achieve, faith in your life, light in your life, if you're going to give it to someone, it can flip his life, it can change his life, and you will never going to understand. For you, it's obvious. You say, no, Baruch Hashem. Friends told me yesterday morning, told me, every time that we hear that you're saying Baruch Hashem, we understand that really Baruch Hashem. Every time you're saying Bless Hashem, we understand that really we should bless Hashem. So, think about it. What am I saying? Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. I'm not thinking deep when I'm saying Baruch Hashem, but I'm bringing that Baruch Hashem from a certain place of faith, a certain level of faith that I'm holding in that place. And it illuminates someone that just hear it from a different level. And I haven't done nothing. I just said Baruch Hashem. But when he heard Baruch Hashem, he sees that Hashem is blessed, and that Hashem is huge, and that Hashem is good, and it wakes him up. And it's just by that you're saying to someone, Baruch Hashem. And there are so many people, so many souls that are under each and every one of us, waiting and hoping, when he gonna come and talk to me? When he gonna smile to me? When he gonna say to me, Baruch Hashem? When he gonna say to me, there's nothing except for Hashem? Accept it with love, give a smile, Hashem loves you, Hashem is with you. Those words for people are they're a lifeline. It's mamash saves life.
I just wanted to say that in the end, left this year, a few months later, the people in the Chuba asked me.
Good. And the one that is in the level of Abraham Avinu, I know it means Bechinot Baal Nefesh, means that he's got a soul, he's got a nefesh, he's got a neshama. Azai bevadai, so for sure, kol achilotav usodotav, all of his meals bevchinat lechem apanim are in the aspect of eating the holy bread in Beis Hamikdash. Bivchinat, in the aspect of hitalech lefanai, walk in front of me. Hitalech, walk, what it means? Ze bivchinat raglin. It's an aspect of his legs. Bivchinat parnasato, the aspect of his parnasa, income. Means if you're standing, like Rabbeinu is bringing a verse, better. Bivchinat, an aspect of ve'et hayekum asher beraglehem, the universe that's in their legs. ודרשו רבותינו לברכה, זיכרונם לברכה, and רבותינו said in the Gemara מסכת סנהדרין, זה ממונו של אדם, is the money of the man, שמעמידו על רגליו, that give him the ability to stand on his feet, to stand on his legs, stability in his life. So, when הקדוש ברוך הוא said to Abraham Avinu, התהלך לפניי, walk in front of me, means that all of his eatings, Rabbeinu said now, was in a holy way, and like he's eating the holy bread in Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbeinu now is explaining that it's coming by the fact that he had money. What's the connection with how that you're eating to the fact that you have money? Shenaseh mehem bechinat panim, that the bread becomes in the aspect of the face. What it means, the face? That he's got faith. Beze bechinat, that he sees the face of Hashem Yitbarach when he's eating. Not eating with his lust and desire. When a man is poor, and it can be even a rich man that's going to be poor. But when the man feels poor, feels hungry, feels needed, he have to eat, so he's poor. So he cannot eat in Kedusha. To eat in Kedusha, it's like that the verse is saying, Lech lech echol besimcha lachmecha. You need to eat your bread when you're happy. If you're sad, you're not allowed to eat. You cannot eat in a holy way when you're sad. Only when you're happy means you're already satisfied. Now you can eat for Hashem Yitbarach when you're happy. When you're sad and depressed, and you know people depressed, they're eating more and more and more and looking for salty, sweet, something, and then spicy something, to drink something hot and something cold, and then to break it with something sour. And why? Because he's in depressed. The sadness is breaking the ability to control how that you eat. But the happiness, the joy, you have control on yourself. So when a man is rich, rich means that he's happy with his share. Doesn't mean that he's got money. Means that he's happy with what it is got. He's got that stability that stands him on his feet. And now he can walk in front of Hashem. What it means, Rabbeinu explained it, that all of his eatings, like that he's eating the bread of the face, the holy bread that's been eaten in Beit HaMikdash. What it means, that he's eating in a holy way. That he remembers Hashem in Barach while he's eating it. And Rabbeinu is talking about that on eating in another place in the Likutei Moharan. He's revealing that if a person is eating in a holy way, so he can achieve the illumination of the will. He can want Hashem Yitbarach in the strongest way of them all. By eating, through those sparks of food. When he's eating the Shem Shamayim, when he remembers Hashem, when he eats the food. But when the food eats him, when he's got a desire and he has to eat, and it's like that he's got a certain debt, an obligation, you have to finish the plate, you have to eat, he's hungry, he's starving. So then he's losing the will to serve Hashem. Rav Shalom said, how are you going to know if your eating was in Kedusha, in holiness or not? Depends in the will that you have after the Seudah. If you want to run to the fields to learn Torah after that you ate, means that you were eating properly. If you want to go to sleep, it means that you weren't eating properly at all. Yeah. Sleep, it's like to die. He wants to die, he wants to sleep, he wants to close his eyes, not to deal, not to serve Hashem, to forget from everything. You lost the will. You lost the will to serve Hashem. So Rabbeinu is saying, and it's an aspect of what it's written on the bread, the holy bread, Lechem Cham Beyom Hilakcho. The bread was still warm in the day that they took it. After 1 week, it was still warm. Haynu lechem hapanim means the bread of the face. Hem lechem cham, it's warm bread. Dargin de Avraham, it's the level of Avraham. Shehu bechinat, that he is in the aspect of kechom hayom, in the heat of the day. The heat of the day. It means that he is fighting. Rabbi Nathan is explaining in Likutei Halachot that what it's written on Avraham Avinu v'Avraham Yoshev Petach HaOel, he's sitting in the entrance to the tent, Kechom Hayom, in the heat of the day. Rabbi Nathan is explaining Petach HaOel, entrance of the tent, means that he's not inside the tent. Even after that he circumcised himself, even after years of Mesirut Nefesh, he's still outside of the tent. Or Allah Shel Torah, the tent of Torah. He's in the entrance. He still wants to get inside. Kechom Hayom, in the heat of the day, Rabbi Nathan is explaining that the heat of all of lusts and desires are fighting with him. And he's in the entrance. He cannot went in. And he's in a struggle. Even in the age of 99, even after converting, even after circumcising, even after sacrificing and doing so many things and throwing himself to the fire and leaving his father and mother and going to a foreign land, to a place unknown, and all of the difficulties and the tests that he had on the way, and bringing so many gerim and making so many souls, and still the Yetzirah doesn't leave him alone. The heat of the day, and he's only in the entrance of the Kedusha, he cannot go in. This is Avraham Avinu, that he's keep on fighting and fighting all of the time. Ve'az, and then, Kol ha'akum ve'chol ha'kochavim u'magalot she'em tachtihem, and then all of the nations and all of the stars and luck, the constellations that they're under, that means that the nations are under the constellations. Kulam hen torchin bishvil zeh ish. They're all working for that man. All of the world start to work for him, to help him, to support him. Bivchinat, in the aspect of what it's written in Tehillim, Shev li mini, sit in my right side. Bechinat Avraham, the aspect of Avraham. Ad ashit oivecha hadom leraglecha. Until I'm going to bring your enemies to be, I said hadom, it's that seat, stool. That stool your enemy is going to be stool under your legs.
Footstool.
Under your legs. Shehem torchim bishvil parnasatcha. That they going to work for your parnasah. Like we said, that the legs, the feet are showing the parnasah, that you're standing on your legs. So they're going to be the stool for
footstool
under your legs. They're going to bring your parnasah. Bivchinat, in the aspect of lachmenu hem sar tzilam me'alehem. And the next part, ki mar'eh chama amuka min hatzel. Let's try to explain. Lachmenu hem, the our bread, it's them, means they are bringing our food. Sar tzilam me'alehem, their shade moved from them, mean they cannot sit and rest in the shade anymore. They have to work and to sweat and to bring food for us. Ki mar'eh chama amuka min hatzel, because when you see the sun, it's deeper than the shade. Means you can see the light of the sun is stronger than the power of the shade of covering. I mean, the sun is stronger than the shade. So when the sun is illuminating, when you have light, when you have Avraham Avinu, so all of their power to sit in the shade is disappearing, and they have to run and they have to be in the sun. They have to start helping Avraham Avinu. They cannot ignore from Avraham Avinu. Bechinat lechem cham, it's an aspect of warm bread. Warm bread. They need to work hard for that bread. Aval keshesar tzilam, but when they don't have that ability to have that shade, they don't have their confidence anymore. They have to work. Azay nit'ale v'nit'ra'e mar'eh chama. So then you can see, and it reveals the sight of the sun. Suddenly you can see the sun. Darge de Avraham, the aspect of the level of Avraham Avinu. Vehem nishpalim tachtav, and they become to be under him. Bivchinat, in the aspect of ad ashit oivecha hadom v'chule, until I'm going to bring your enemies to be your footstool. Vezeo, and this is what it's written, hithalech lefanai v'heyetamim, walk in front of me and be simple, innocent. What?
Innocent.
Bivchinat, in the aspect of tamim tiye im Hashem Elokecha. Innocent, you're going to be with Hashem, your God. What it means, innocent? Shelo titzarech lidrosh achar kochavim umazalot. That you will not going to need to go to ask for after the stars and constellations. Very good. Why? Ki tiye lemala mehem. Because you're going to be above them. I remember that I had a certain situation in my life that I wanted to solve very badly, and I went to Arab Shalom, and Arab Shalom, Baruch Hashem, like most of the times, he told me, Hashem is with you, don't worry, keep on praying, on Beit HaMikdash, keep on doing tshuva, everything is good, don't worry. And I told you that a few days ago, one of the guys from our class went to talk to Arab Shalom, and he came to him, and he had a very important question, and he came to Arab and asked him, and Arab answered to him, and he asked him again, and Arab answered to him, and when he went out, he felt like mamash Arab answered to him on all of the questions. When he came to share it with his wife, to tell her, he realized that Arab have an answer to him or nothing, and he still doesn't know what to do. And she's asking questions, he doesn't know how to answer. He said, Arab said it's going to be okay. He said, Arab said that it's going to be all right. Don't worry. Hashem is with us. So he didn't have no answer. When I came to Arab Shalom and I asked him the questions that I needed help, he told me, don't worry. And one of the friends came to me and told me, listen, there is a rabbi, and I know that rabbi. He's huge. He's a very holy man. He told me he knows how to help in those situations. I asked him, what do you mean? He said, you're telling him exactly what's your problem, and he's got the eyes to see and the mind to understand, and he's going to answer to you exactly what you should do to solve your problem. There are rabbis like those, have holy abilities. So maybe you're going to come. So I told him I would love to come, but actually, I don't want to go at all, and I'm not going to go, probably, hopefully. I'm not going to go. Why? Because I know that the answer of a Rav maybe is not answering to the details that you want to hear, but it's a lot higher, and it's covering. Because that it's higher, it's covering for all of the details that you need to hear. You don't need to hear them. You need to learn to live without having all of the answers to all of your questions. If really you want to hear the answers to all of your questions, it can be very frightening to know really why you have your problems in life, to know really what you should do to fix them. Not sure that we want, that we have the... I know for sure that we don't actually. We don't have the ability to hear the truth now. If we would have that ability, Hashem would reveal it to us. Hashem is taking everything slowly, slowly, step by step, because that it's better. Because that like that we can deal somehow with a lot of mercy and with a lot of compassion, with a lot of love and patience, still we can deal. But if you'd receive all of your answers now, how it happened and why it came to you, even though that you're so righteous, when they're going to answer, I'm not sure you're going to remember where you forgot your kippah in the last time that you saw it. There's no heroes. There's no heroes. To know Hashem is full with mercy. Hashem is all good. Hashem's got loving kindness. All of His way of leading Am Yisrael comes out of His love, out of His strong will to bring us to faith, to bring us back to Him. Rav Shalom said in Shabbos, that one time Rabbi Baruch, I think he said Rabbi Baruch Mimejibush, he saw a man that sits in the street and crying, in the field and crying. So he asked him, "Why are you crying?" So he answered to him that he was hiding somewhere. He was with his friends and then he was hiding. And after that, his friend went and they didn't even look for him. And they forgot him, and they left him over there, and they went, and he's crying, because his friends left him. Rabbi Baruch started to cry. Why Rabbi Baruch was crying? Because Hashem Yitbarach also hides Himself, and no one is looking for Him. Hashem is hiding, and no one is looking for Hashem. No one cares that Hashem is hiding. Alright, but I have a meeting. You need to do Shahid Bodhut. Alright, but I have a... I'm going to push it somehow. I'm going to do half an hour in the train, and... And you fulfill your obligation and you don't care about Hashem. And Rabbi Baruch is crying on that. And each and every one of us need to cry on that because Hashem is crying on that. B'mistarim tivkeh nafshi mipnei gava. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm crying in the mysteries, in the hidden places. When you cannot find me, there I'm crying. Why? Because you're arrogant. Mipnei gavatan shel Israel. Because Am Yisrael are arrogant. You are arrogant because you're hungry now. Think it's so important. You're arrogant because you have to take care of this and that. And you're arrogant because you have to learn more Torah. Everyone is arrogant. He needs to be a Talmid Chacham. He needs to call his wife. He needs to do this. He needs to do that. It's all arrogant. If Hashem is crying, nothing is more important than if Hashem is crying. Then Hashem is crying. But no one pay attention. Everyone are arrogant. All of the righteous people, it's not people that's born with that wisdom in their hands. It's people that took those words and worked with them. Said to Hashem Yitbarach, listen, today Ribono Shel Olam, I heard a class like that. And really, I'm not holding that level also. I don't care about you, Hashem. This is the truth. I can pray on my house for hours and hours. And you know what? Also, you don't have a house. I heard about it. I heard that you also don't have a house. And I really don't care that you don't have a house. Can you bring me mine? This is the truth. Where is my shidduch? Where is my wife? And Hashem is divorced for 2,000 years. Hashem divorced us. We are His wife. And look what are we doing. Look what Hashem's wife is doing every day. This is Hashem's wife, us. Hashem's wife watching YouTube. Hashem's wife is... she's got Facebook. Really? This is Hashem. You're crying on your wife that she is stuck in Facebook. Hashem's wife is stuck in Facebook. This is what Hashem wants you to wake up, to realize. Hashem's wife is stuck in all of those places. The Shekhinah Kedoshah that fell to the depths, to the mud, to the filth. It's Hashem's wife. You don't care about Hashem's wife. You just want Him to help you with your wife. You want Him to help you with your children. Hashem is waking you up to look at your children, that you're going to understand that the children of Hashem Yitbarach, one of them is in Zimbabwe, one of them is in Kazakhstan. Everyone in the edges of the world, in the most filthiest places of the world. They have horrible lusts and horrible desires for bad things. And Hashem wants you to wake up to pray on my kids. Pray on my children. If you're going to pray on mine, I'm going to pray on yours. If you're going to help my kids, I'm going to help you with yours. Don't worry. Hashem will never going to owe something to someone who's not going to pay. It's not existing. Hashem is paying me on the spot, immediately. And a lot times more. A lot times more. You just need to sacrifice. You have problems with your son. You need to understand Hashem is waking you up to see that Hashem's got a problem with His son. It can be you, that you're that son, that you're that lost son. It can be that Hashem wants you to work for Am Israel, to pray on other sons that He's got, wandering in the world, doesn't know what to do with their lives at all. Bottom line, to see Hashem in all of those situations, to wake up. Hashem, what do you want from me in that situation? Lack of Shalom Bayit, lack of Parnasa, lack of wisdom, lack of Torah, don't have a shidduch, don't know what to do with my life, confusions, bad thoughts. What is the message, Hashem? What do you want me to understand? When you're doing that, it means that you reveal that you're asking for Hashem Yitbarach, where are you? That you reveal the kingship of Hashem, that you're crowning Hashem. You're looking for Hashem. You're the only one. You're that friend that stayed in that field to look for Hashem Yitbarach. Everyone left. Everyone went. And you decided to stay. No, but... So what? It's late, but what? Are you going to stay here alone in the field? The king is in the field. It's to look for him. It's to go, Hashem, where are you? Please come to your house. Come to the house, Hashem. We're looking for you. We're hoping for you. Where are you, Hashem? Where are you? Simple as that. You remember that wonderful story on how the place of Beit HaMikdash been set. Two brothers that had an amazing love for each other. And they were taking care of each other. One was poor and one was rich. The one that was rich, he didn't have kids. And the one that was poor, he had a lot of kids. And they had a field that was divided to two. And every night they were harvesting. And in the night, the one that was rich, he was waking up in the middle of the night. And he was taking from the stalks of wheat and passed to his brother's field, because he said, he's poor, my brother is poor. And the poor brother was waking up in the middle of the night and saying, my brother, he doesn't have children, so maybe the wealth is going to comfort him, maybe he's going to have more money, so he's going to be more happy, this is what I can do for him. So he was putting those stalks in his part of the field. And this is how it was for days and for nights. And one day in the middle of the night, they met each other. And they realized that they love each other so much, and they were crying, and they hugged each other. And Hashem decided that on that place, He's going to establish Beit HaMikdash. He's going to build Beit HaMikdash. That story happened on Har HaBayit. This is how Hashem decided to build Beit HaMikdash on that mountain. Hashem wants real love, true love. Between brothers, between achim, and have them married, listen to the voice of Hashem. Amen. Amen. Amen.